Good morning. I think that's the first time I didn't realize I was actually up. Thank you, Chago. Pre-K, you guys can go. Super Church, you're stuck with me today. Well, you can tell by what I'm wearing that it's Christmas time. I had more comments on what I'm wearing today than any time ever. Chago mentioned that if I just had lights on this, we would might be a little distracting. Part of the why I'm wearing this is I love this time of year. There's something special about it. It seems like even in our world that everybody's just a little bit more kind, maybe a little bit more generous this time of year. Now, of course, if you're fighting over the last toy in Walmart, it won't seem that way. You might notice that the mail that comes to you for giving increases. There's a reason for that. People seem to open their pocketbooks this time of year because there's something special about it. The Christmas tree, the lights, the presents, the family, the friends, it's all unique. In 1914, during World War I, on Christmas Day, they had a Christmas truce. British, French, and German soldiers stopped fighting on Christmas. They exchanged gifts. They sang carols. They even played soccer in the no man's land between the two trenches. That's special. But all those things that we relate to Christmas comes back to one person. Christmas is special because the Creator came down to be part of his creation. A moment in time that will never be replicated. God came as man. Today, that's what we're going to look at. Scholars look at how many times in the Old Testament that it prophesied about the Messiah. They agree it's around 300. 300 times before Christ came, they said he was coming. And then there were 400 years of silence. 400 years when nobody talked, nobody prophesied. God was silent. 400 years. Now, I want you to get that. We throw 400 years out there. We're talking four generations at least of people. There's nobody here that has lived 400 years. It's a long time for quiet. When I was working at Sprint, the boss that I had at the time, we were in negotiations with a vendor that we had had for many years, and the vendor was not giving us what we wanted. So my boss put me in charge of the negotiation, but I was really just a front man because they knew I didn't have the power to say yay or nay. And all of a sudden, my boss became silent. They would send emails to us. I would respond. He said nothing. They would ask stuff and questions. I would respond. He said nothing. Time passed. And they began to change because his silence spoke volumes. His silence was preparing them for the negotiation we need to have. And finally, they couldn't stand it anymore, and they said, "You have been silent." And he goes, "There's a reason for that." And we got what we wanted. God was silent 400 years. He was preparing the world for his son. During that 400 years, we saw Alexander the Great. We saw the Maccabee Revolt. We saw the Romans begin to rule. And something very particular happened. They began to transcribe the Old Testament into different languages. The world was ready. So that's what we're going to look at today. So turn with me to John 1, 1 through 5. We are going to jump around a little bit today, so stay with me. I love stories, and this is one of the greatest stories ever told. I don't need to put much on it to make it what it is. You might be curious why I'm starting in John. To understand why we celebrate Christmas, you need to understand where Jesus came from. He didn't begin with Mary. That's why John. Look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What it's talking about is the Word being Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus has always been. He is God. And before Adam and Eve ever did what Adam and Eve did, God knew that one day he would send his son to be his own creation. He knew that one day he would come as a baby to save us. But he didn't start with Mary. He's been here all along. It says everything was created through him. The Creator God comes down to us. Turn with me to Luke 1:26. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Betrothed for us would be like engaged in our time, of the house of David. And I'll stop right there and just say there's so much about the lineage, so much about all the stuff that's happening. I don't have time to hit it all. But what I will tell you is this: God doesn't make mistakes. And when he plans something, it is perfect. And his son coming and how it's laid out is perfect. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one," literally translated, "full of grace. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. For you ladies here that are teenagers, just imagine that an angel of the Lord appeared to you and called you favored one. That would make you a little concerned about what's coming next. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son." We know that to be John the Baptist, and there's a whole other story, a part of that. "And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren." And why did God see to do that? Look at this, 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. In that perfect plan, if you're sending your son to be raised, you want to choose the right people to raise him. Mary was chosen. She's been prepared. The angel spoke to her. But she's engaged to a gentleman, isn't she? Lord needs to take care of that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. We can't skip over that. Joseph didn't know it was from God. And if back then, if you were betrothed to somebody and you came up pregnant, your penalty was being stoned. If you're being stoned, they're going to kill you. So Joseph, the kind of man he was going to divorce her in secret to save her life. That's the kind of man that the Lord chose for his son. Verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. We know that from Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. Don't miss that. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I told you we'd be going back and forth. I wasn't kidding. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. This is the one that if you ever watch a Charlie Brown special, he quotes this. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Why is this important? It's because it's important for us to know that God is not limited by two people. He's not limited by a government. This Caesar Augustus, this census that needed to be taken, it happened because God needed it to happen. Jesus needed to be born where he had been prophesied to be born. Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, and the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. I want you to think about this for a moment. How you are right now. If somebody said, okay, tomorrow you're going to be going back to when you were a baby. With all that you know now, How humbling would that be? To have your diaper changed again. We skip over that. We skip over that the God of creation humbled himself to the point of being a baby. Not to mention to the point of death. This is no small thing. In fact, there is no greater event in history besides his death and resurrection. A Savior has come. You ever watch those movies where all these people are trapped and it's at the final hour and then all of a sudden somebody comes and frees them? Or there's a guy on the battlefield and he's all alone and then all of a sudden the army saves him, the last minute Savior. There was 400 years of silence. Jesus came not to save us from just this life, but from eternity in punishment. He's giving us eternal life. There is never a greater Savior. Christmas is special. And so, in a manger, he was laid. Look at verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. They're not asleep. They're working overnight, watching their flock. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Don't miss the visual. It's dark. They're tending their sheep. An angel appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shines around them, meaning it became like daylight. And the angel said to them, and they were filled with great fear, which anybody would be. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." No mistaking who he is. No mistaking why he came. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying. There's two things here. The first is the multitude. It's a number that I probably can't comprehend. But they went from having one angel speak to him to the host of heaven present. And they're chanting. They're not singing, even though we sing they are. It says, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." I need to focus on this for just a moment. Some manuscripts say peace, goodwill among men, but it also adds that it's on whom his favor rests. It's important to know this. It's not for everybody. The Greek phrase here is eudikaios, and what it's translated in is who he delights in, the kindness he gives, the purpose. We need to understand what these angels are saying. They're saying glory to God in the highest. So first, the reason Jesus is here is God's glory. Then he says, on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased, or with whom he wishes, with whom he delights. What does this mean? It means this, that when we're born, we are children of wrath. We are enemies of God. Why did Jesus come? For peace with God. For us to have that peace if we believe in him. If we don't believe in him, we're still enemies of God. That's why it says, with whom he is pleased. It doesn't say everybody. This is not peace where there's no wars on earth. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about peace between us and God. And the only person that could give us that was Jesus. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. A Savior has come. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, if you've been paying attention and you know a nativity scene, you might have a question. Where are the wise men? They're not there. Not everything that we put on, not everything we show is accurate. Wise men aren't there yet. They didn't come that night. Even though every nativity scene that you see shows they're there, they weren't. There were shepherds there. I'm going to come back to that. Put a pin in it. Don't forget who was chosen to be there. Let's continue. And when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Mary and Joseph were not rich people. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This is my opinion on this, and I want to stress that it's just my opinion. My opinion is Simeon is the first converted Christian because of what he knows. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So this old man is just waiting for what the Holy Spirit told him was coming. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." You see, he knew exactly who Jesus was. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." It's very important to get this, especially in this time. For him to be talking about salvation for the Gentiles also is crazy talk. But the Holy Spirit told him, this is salvation not only for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. Look what else the Holy Spirit doubted him in. And his father and his mother marveled at what was being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed," which isn't a good thing. He's talking about his death. "And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." You see, the Holy Spirit let Simeon know what was going to happen. And he's warning Mary ahead of time. this is going to be really rough on you. Simeon understood that the Savior had come, and to be the Savior, he had to die for us. Let's see where the shepherds are. Turn back to Luke. Luke 2:1. I think that's wrong. Nope, not Luke 2:1. Matthew 2:1, maybe. Let's try that. There we go. I had a 1 in 4 chance. All right. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Scholars speculate of where they came from, that maybe they were from Persia. They can point back to the time of Daniel where astrologers in Persia studied Hebrew. We don't know for sure. What we do know is that they came from the east and that the Bible calls them wise men. They came to Jerusalem saying, this is important, I'll come back to that, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. The word saying there is an active word. It gives us the direction that they were walking around town going, do you know where he is? We saw the star. Well, old Herod, who you may not know much about him, he's not the best guy. He gets wind of this, and he wants to play like he's the best guy. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. If the king's not happy, the town's not happy. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, and this would be Micah, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Well, old Herod, he didn't have any intention of worshiping. He saw that prophecy and said, oh, this is somebody coming up to bother my throne. But he sends the wise men to where they go. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, pay attention to this, the star that they had seen, that was previous, when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. They saw a star rise. They were in the east when they saw it. That star hasn't been there after they traveled. After the king releases them, they see the star again. And the only way I can interpret this is it's supernatural that the star moves to right over where the child is. I had a moment, I think just this last week, my wife will tell you, I got out of my truck, it was at night, and I looked up, and there was a string of stars going up in the sky. And I thought, that's unusual. I've never seen that before. And so I called her and I said, get out here, look at this. So I wasn't crazy. And it was Starlink. I didn't even know they did that. But it got my attention. This star that they saw was moving. It would get your attention. They followed it. I want you to see where they followed it to. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the what? House. Not stables, not a manger. Some scholars believe that Jesus was actually 2 years old by this time. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Why? Because they knew the Messiah had come. Even as Gentiles, they knew. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And there's significance for all, but what you need to know is this. They're gifts for a king. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Just to add to the wise men here, it never gives us a number. Because there were three gifts, we go, oh, must have been three wise men. The Bible doesn't say that. There could have been 50 of them. There could have been 10 of them. And yeah, there could have been three of them. What we can't miss is that God included us from the moment that Jesus arrived. I'm not a Jew, but I get grafted in. And we're going to see why. If you ever wondered, now that I've told you that the wise men weren't there, why it was just shepherds. God didn't go up to the kings of the world and say, "My son has arrived." He didn't talk to the magistrates or the rich people or the businessmen. He found shepherds. We get a hint here in Luke when he's quoting scripture and it says, "For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people." Jesus said this in John 10:14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." He's talking about Jews here. And then he says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen." Now he's talking about us. "I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." There's no mistake. No coincidence that God chose shepherds. Christ sees himself as our shepherd. His whole purpose of coming from being in the throne room of heaven, sitting next to God's right side in paradise, and then being as a baby in manger in hay. That's making yourself humble to a point I can't even understand. And he does that with the sole purpose of glorifying God in his death for us. He knew when he was coming to die. It's not something that came upon him and said, "Oh yeah, I got to do this." That's why he came. That's why this birth is so important. The Savior arrived. In Old English, Christmas, the translation is Christ Mass. It's where we get the word. What it means is simply a service celebrating Jesus. You get people that worry about semantics. Well, he wasn't born during this time. This is when we celebrate it. It doesn't matter when he was born. This is when we celebrate it. This is why the world just seems a little different, even if they don't know why. So this week's going to be busy. Presents, family, food, trees, gifts, last minute shopping, all the stuff that makes Christmas stressful. What we need to remember is why we have this. We don't have it because of a dude in a red suit. We don't have it to give each other gifts. We don't have it to put up a tree and put up lights and all those things I love. But that's not why we have it. We take a moment in time and look at what our God did for us. Stepping down from heaven to be his creation, surrounded by what he created. I've known some people with great purpose that had drive on what they wanted to do in life. Some of them succeeded. Christ definitely did. We treasure the baby Jesus. We sing songs about this time. We need to grab a hold of the fact that the reason he came was not to be a cute baby in a manger in a story. He had a purpose. And that purpose was to save us so that we could have peace with God. That as a good shepherd, we could hear his voice and go home. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for everyone here that your words would not return void. We thank you for all of it. I pray that we hear you in this season, we remember you. In Jesus' name, amen.